Hi, everybody. My name is Kathy, and I am an alcoholic. By show of hands, how many people are here? Not everybody. You know, I think this is the way that the small room and the early morning, I think this is the way that past delegates are taught humility. You know, it's like we sometimes think we're all that in a slice of bread, and, you know, and here we are in this little bitty room and a few people, and I am so glad all of you are here, and, you know, I don't know how many of you are associated with the structure as a GSR or a DCM or anywhere in general service, but I'm going to be going over the conference structure a little bit and then sharing a little bit about my experience at the conference and in my area. As Conley said, I was a delegate in 2011-2012, that is panel 61. And each delegate serves for 2 years. I wanted to go back for a third year, but just to the conference. I didn't really want to have to do all the extra work. I just wanted to go to the conference because that's like the really fun part. So the General Service Conference might seem to some people like it's one of those maybe mysterious events in AA where you think of, you know, oh, those people, you know, they know what they're doing, you know, and they go to make decisions about AA. And I kind of like to, you know, in my own mind, I'd like to consider myself one of those people that knows everything, but it's not true. Not true at all. I have to be reminded of that. Now, each person that's a member of the General Service Conference is one of two kinds of members or people. It's just either another recovering alcoholic, you know, just you come into AA, you get sober, and, you know, you get involved. I got involved in service fairly early, and I took to it like a little duck in water, and I just wanted to do everything. And I just kept saying yes, and I just kept standing. And then there are those who are our non-alcoholic friends of AA. I don't understand those people at all. I mean, if I were them, I wouldn't want to hang around with us. And they do. So let's, I want to talk to you a little bit about the structure of the General Service Conference. So if you, I don't know if any of you are familiar, I know some of you are, with this book. It is the AA Service Manual combined with the 12 Concepts for World Service. And in here on page S18, there's a structure in there. There's S16 and S18. Our structure starts with the groups at the top. You know, I think everyone is aware of that. And as a member of the of a group, I get together with my group at business meetings. We have group conscience, and we make decisions. We make decisions about the group. We can make decisions about things going on in our district, which is a locale near us in our neighborhoods, and make decisions about our area. My area happens to be South Florida. South Florida does include some non-U.S. and non-Canadian islands. So our area also includes the Bahamas, the U.S. and British Virgin Islands, Antigua, St. Martin, and the Cayman Islands. So it's a challenge to get around to communicate to all of those islands. And likewise, it's a little difficult for them to come up to the area in assemblies in Florida and participate. But upside down, so the groups are the boss. The groups basically tell the district servants what to do. Now, there's a service position called DCM, District Committee Member. District Committee Member is just responsible to a group of groups. And you may be responsible for communicating with a group of 8 groups, maybe 20 groups, maybe 30 groups sometimes. And you're responsible to them to let them know what's going on in AA in your district, in AA in the area, the bigger the state or partial state. And you get communication back from those groups to tell you, well, here's what we would like to happen, right? So there's a communication path. The districts, as well as the general service representatives, that's an individual serving the group as a communication conduit, communicate with the area delegate. Now, there are, who knows how many delegates there are in the U.S. and Canada structure? Very close, 93. There are 93. So that means that's more than there are states and provinces. So some states have multiple delegates. Florida, for example, has two. So we have South Florida, we have North Florida, and then Alabama has a little slice of Florida at the top that includes Northwest Florida. So we kind of have three, but have two main areas. California, I think, is anybody here from California? Five? Yeah, there's four or five areas in California because it's a very big state and heavily populated in some areas. Our area has about 2,200 groups. It's a very highly populated big area. So those delegates attend the annual General Service Conference meeting. The General Service Conference happens, the meeting happens once a year in New York. It's a week long. It's intense. And we delegates carry the message from their groups, which are at the top of the structure, through the district, to the area, to the delegate, the group conscience of all of those agenda items that appear on the conference agenda. Excuse me one second. Now, at the General Service Conference, we have more than just the delegates to discuss the matters of AA at hand. We also have trustees. And trustees, if you were at the big meeting last night, you saw the General Service Board trustees come onto the stage. There are 21 trustees. Now, to make sure, I think this is alcoholic thinking myself, but to make sure that the alcoholics are in charge of the board, not in charge, we're not in charge. There are 14, there are 14 alcoholic trustees and only 7 non-alcoholic trustees. And so at any given time, if all the alcoholics on the board were to agree on something, they could always outweigh the non-alcoholic trustees in any kind of vote. Now, when did 14 alcoholics ever agree on anything? Well, yeah, no, never. Pretty much never. Right? So, but that was the idea that we should be responsible for our own destiny, so to speak, for our own future, for our own fellowship. So there are two corporate boards as well. So the corporate boards are AAWS, AA World Services, which basically oversees the General Service Office in New York and the operations thereof. And then there is the AA Grapevine, which oversees the operations of the Grapevine Office, which produces our magazine. The AA Grapevine Magazine produces a number of books, you know, like there's the little Happy, Joyous, and Free Grapevine book, for example. I think that's the international, souvenir book, and so on. So the conference is sort of like, if you look at that structure, the groups at the top, the General Service Board at the bottom, with the corporations off to the side, the conference there, that's the ultimate authority and final responsibility. That's where it lies, in that conference. Now, the groups basically are at the top, just like a boss of any corporation. They tell the conference, here's what we want. And then the conference tells the General Service Board, here's what we want you to do. So the General Service Board basically reports to the conference. Right, and then the corporations are the arms of that do the research, the pamphlet development, the day-to-day work. You have staff members in the office, etc. So everything works together in this big, it looks like an upside-down triangle, but it's like a circle of information flowing from the individual member to the district, to the delegate, to the conference, out to the committees. the work gets done during the year, comes back to the conference again, flows back up to the groups, and it's this big circle of communication. So the trustees actually do the work of the conference. They work throughout the year. The conference says, here's what we recommend. This is what we want you to do. They vote. And then the trustees of the board say, okay, this is what the conference wants. Here's the committee that will need to work on that. We're going to give this to the Grapevine. We're going to give this to AA World Services. This is going to be publishing, and so on. And then the trustees, which are the trustees paid? Who knows? They are not paid at all. So, again, the non-alcoholic trustees who serve 6 years on the board are just crazy. No pay, lots of trips, lots of their own personal time, and they stay with us. I don't get it. The conference, there's conference committees. So during that 1 week at conference, the conference committees meet on the agenda items, and if you're, say, you're assigned to a committee. So you're on that committee, and it's only delegates in that committee that are doing any kind of agenda discussion and voting. And so you vote on, let's say you're on literature. You vote on that piece of literature, then you come out to all the entire conference and you put that motion on the floor basically as a recommendation. And then the whole conference gets to talk about that and decide if that's for the good of AA or not. And then once they decide, yes, it's for the good of AA, that's when it goes to the board to be doled out to the appropriate committee or AA Grapevine or publishing, etc. Okay. So now you've got the basic idea of our structure and how that sort of works together. The conference really, I keep talking about this week, but the conference is really this year-long process. Chapter 7 in our AA service manual says, while the General Service Conference operates all year round, the annual meeting held in New York City, usually in April, is the culmination of the year's activities, the time when the collective group conscience of U.S.-Canada AA comes together to take actions that will guide the groups in the years to come. Our Concept 1 talks about that final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services residing in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. The conference is where that collective conscience comes together. And then Concept 2, when in 1955 the AA groups confirmed the permanent charter for their General Service Conference, they thereby delegated to the conference complete authority for the active maintenance of our world services, and thereby made the conference the actual voice and effective conscience for our whole society. So that conference is where Alcoholics Anonymous voice lives. There was an inventory, first time ever, at the General Service Conference. It lasted 3 years, right? That's a long inventory. So each conference for the past 3 years, they've had inventory questions, and they would break up into groups to discuss these questions and come out with, just like we do in a group inventory. So how do we make it better? Where are some problem areas? How could we improve? There's always room for improvement. And there's the actions from this year are summarized in the summer edition of Box 459. It's a free publication. If you go to AA.org, you can find the link for Box 459. You can get it for free. Some of the summary of that I thought was very interesting. There was 5 points. There's working together and increasing trust. This was one of the recommendations of the inventory this year. Talking about creating a more balanced working relationship between the trustees and the conference. Then engaging the fellowship was another one. I was talking with my friend Roy back there about engaging the fellowship. Finding ways to close the gap between individual AA members and the conference itself. Suggestions were like simplify communication about our conference process. The average AA member doesn't even know that there's a conference, or if they do, there's some nebulous thing out there like, what's that about? You know, that doesn't really apply to me, does it? Well, yeah. And how do we communicate that between the trustees and the groups? Carrying the message in a diverse and changing society. You know, if we don't have diversity in our AA groups, then we don't have diversity at our conference, then we don't have diversity on our general service board. And how can a general service board that's not diverse understand the needs of a fellowship that has diversity? You know, how do we attract those people, those alcoholics out there who are still suffering, if we don't have the diversity to be able to have that point of view and to understand that population? You know, how do we get that suffering alcoholic in? Improving communication, stressing the importance of listening to help foster good decisions through our group conscience. Listening? Really? Talking? I can talk a lot, but listening is a learned skill, I think. But listening to the fellowship, looking toward the future, you know, making the concepts more accessible to the fellowship as a whole. You know, how many people, I know some of you in here are in the general service structure, but how many people have sort of a working understanding of the 12 concepts? Yeah, okay, about a third of the people. So how can we make that accessible to everyone? So the findings here seem to point directly to the involvement of the AA groups, just as the general service structure was designed and our 12 concepts of world service guide us. The support given by each area to its delegate is paramount to the fulfillment in the first two concepts. Without informed communication from the groups through the GSR and the DCM to the delegate, the area's group conscience can't be well represented at the annual conference meeting. Likewise, without communication back from the delegate to the groups can't make informed decisions about AA as a whole. So we have to have that communication. Just a couple of personal stories, and then I'll wrap up, because I'm sure I've been going a little bit here. During my second year as delegate, there were some visitors from India. There were two people. We allowed two people, two countries, by request to come to the General Service Conference as observers. And there were these two guys from India. One of the gentlemen, I think, was a general service trustee in India, and the other, I think, was maybe the general manager of their GSO there. One of the guys came to my committee meeting. I was on the report and charter committee. If you don't know what that is, I challenge you to go look it up. Lucky was his name. So Lucky from India came into our meeting. It was just, I just got chill bumps, because these people come to our conference to learn more about our structure and how we stay strong and what we've learned and how they can learn from us. India is challenged by, Lucky told me that they have 20 primary languages. Primary. You know, I don't know how many people are in India, but there's a lot, unfathomable. Shortly after the conference took place, we got communication back from Lucky through the General Service Office throughout the year. They had had a talk show from a very, very popular talk show host. And they had a series on, I don't know, alcoholism or recovery or something, but one of the segments was on Alcoholics Anonymous. They had the phone lines open for people to call in to get more information, to ask for help. There were so many calls that within just a few minutes, it crashed the whole system. They got it back up and working, and over the next few weeks, I learned that there were, this is not going to even make sense to you, there were about 700,000 calls over in the next few weeks from this. You know, this was like India's Jack Alexander article, right, of our USAA. And, you know, groups began to spring up. People were getting sober. They were coming back. And it just really, really, really touches my heart. The last thing I wanted to mention is something that happened in my own area last year. There was a gal, part of our area structure, I said, included the islands, and the Bahamas is one of those series of islands. The Bahamas has many islands. They had been a dark district for a long time, over 20 years. A gal in the Bahamas was looking for looking to change the time and meeting place of their meeting on this little bitty island called Hopetown. And so she called the General Service Office. She found the number on the literature, called the General Service Office to get this meeting time changed on the website. General Service Office referred her to our delegate at that time, Don F. And Don spoke with Erica, and Erica didn't know anything about Area 15 or the structure or anything like that. They just didn't know. And so she asked our delegate, would he come and give the conference report in the Bahamas? And, of course, we were thrilled at that. And so Don came back, reported that to the area, and there were, I think, six of us, plus I think there were six of us that went down, made the trip over to support our delegate and to support our Dark District and to provide information to them. We did a series of presentations to them on the General Service Conference, the traditions, the concepts, the archives, and, of course, they received the conference report. I've never seen people so hungry for the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. It overwhelmed me. It was, they took us in. They would not let us pay for our lodging. They would not let us pay for our meals. They took us into their homes. They provided food for us. They had cookouts. And out of that trip, we now in the Bahamas have a DCM. And we have a GSR, and they're beginning to learn how to spread the message from that little bitty island of 250 people in their little meeting of three meetings a week. We listed them with GSO right then and there that weekend, and they're going out to Nassau now to try to get people there interested in the structure. I can't say enough about this communication within AA, this helping one another, this carrying the message to one another, and the importance of the group to get their message, to get their group conscience to the General Service Conference through their delegate. You know, this is a life-saving fellowship. We must help each other, and we're only in our own right, in our little group, just a small part of this huge whole, but we all have a part to play. And thank you all for being here this morning.
Thank you, Kathleen. And next we have Cheryl, who was a panel 63.
Hi, everyone. Cheryl Figley, alcoholic.
Hi, Cheryl.
Past delegate, panel 63, area 24, Iowa. I got to tell you, when I was the delegate, I wanted to be heard out where they were at. I mean, a lot of us talked about that because I come from where we just had 15 feet of snow and it's, you know, zero out. And they're going Bahamas, and I'm like, yeah, we want to go serve there. You know what I mean? I'm like, can I move there and serve there? You know, I'm not going to talk about the structure. She just did it for you. So I'm just going to share my experience, strength, and hope, and what it felt for me as a delegate and my experience at the General Service Conference. You know, when I first got sober, I was two months sober, and in this meeting, which I didn't know was going to become my home group, I just went to meetings. I was court ordered into Alcoholics Anonymous and didn't believe I needed to be in Alcoholics Anonymous. Thought I had other problems besides alcohol. But I started going to this group, and there was an announcement that the DCM is coming, and they want to talk to us about contributions. And what I heard was the president of Alcoholics Anonymous is coming, and you have to pay your dues to stay. That's what I heard. So imagine what my mind thought when they talked about the delegate. And then when I got to hear about trustees, I'm like, that's like meeting Brad Pitt. I mean, whoa, I'm all the way up, you know. And I got to tell you, I'm the delegate, and I don't look at myself as Brad Pitt. And, you know, I didn't think that, you know, but I did not know that when I was young in AA. I'm like, the DCM. You know, I started in this group, and we used to be a big group, and we kind of became a small group. And what happened was I was about 6 months sober, and we had a business meeting, and they needed to elect a GSR, and I stood, and they said, no, maybe an alternate GSR. And so I became the alternate GSR and eventually became the GSR, and sad to say, I never attended a district meeting. I was not taught yet. I was not taught. I just knew to have, I say I'll do it, but was not taught about the district. It was just a group that's how the group ran. And, you know, eventually I had several positions and it became my group. You know what I mean? Because it was like I just held too many positions, not knowing, really just trying to give back. Just trying to give back to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I would hear people talk about serving Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, eventually in 1999, I got a sponsor. I surrendered to the principle of sponsorship, and I had a sponsor that taught me about the traditions and really worked the steps with me for the first time and started to talk about the service structure and district, and then told me I needed to hold one position so that you could give everything you have in that position. And so I did that. You know, I come from a line of sponsorship. I'll tell you, on the fourth Sunday of every single month, the women she sponsors, the women we sponsor, the women they sponsor, get together at 11 a.m., and right now we're going over the service manual. And it is so awesome to see the young people that have not been familiarized with the General Service yet and ask these questions, and they're lighting up, and they're learning about GSRs, and they're learning about the area, and, you know, they're asking lots of questions. And, you know, so I'm very fortunate to be a part of that, where it's been exposed to us, and we're going over the concepts again. And my book's already highlighted, but, you know, the new ones are learning all of that, and, you know, it's exciting for them. You know, when I got elected in, like, most delegate, or I shouldn't say most, when I got voted in as the delegate, it was a sense of honor, because I think about the girl from Portland, Oregon, who's homeless, no shoes on her feet, lost every single thing in my life and did whatever I could to survive on the streets. And now I've been asked to represent the state of Iowa as the delegate. I mean, what such a transformation God has done for me and AA has done for me. I would have never thought that about myself or where I would have gone. And, you know, I got elected, and, you know, through the years of serving at ARI, I would hear things about the General Service Conference. But again, I don't know. It's your experience. I have my own experience. I talked to my sponsor about that. I'm like, you know, what do I talk about? And she goes, I can't tell you what to talk about. I don't have your experience. Even if I become a delegate, I won't have your experience. You have your own experience at the General Service Conference. And, you know, I would hear things, and I come from an area where we meet in March, and we go over all the agenda items. And then I have a region that I serve with, West Central Region, and we meet at the end of February, and we go through all of the agenda items again. So I believe that our delegate is well prepared before they go to New York. They've gone over this several times, and, you know, so I knew when they set me, I was well prepared. I could hear the conscience. And some of you remember in 2013, panel 63, there was some big stuff coming up. Big stuff coming up on agenda items. They were talking about interlocking of the boards. Lots of good stuff was coming up. And, you know, I remember hearing sometimes I would hear people make comments about us against them, you know, not knowing that yet, haven't been there yet, but I would hear some of that sometimes. And then I would come back and I'd hear delegates give different reports, and, you know, they didn't feel that. So when I went there, I tried to keep that open mind of, this is my experience, leave that out, you know. And we got there, and I was asked to serve on the finance committee. And, you know, I've been raised enough in AA to go to enough business meetings to see that we have to work together. There are going to be times where I don't agree with what you say. I think it's going to ruin the group. You know, if we pass this, and we pass it, and it didn't ruin the group's still doing fine. You know what I mean? But we've had to talk things through. So I was raised, and I got to see some of that. And I've been to business meetings where they don't take turns, and I've seen chairs fly. I mean, I've been to different business meetings. And so I got there, you know, I arrived in New York, and I was immediately asked to I was told I was serving on the finance committee, which I knew. And, you know, my first experience in the finance committee that year was we all got together in that room. And on the little green card, it talked about how much is your sobriety worth? That's now taken off. If you notice, it's been taken off. And that was something that I had brought up. You know what I mean? And I got to tell you, when I'm sitting in that committee, it was like every time I spoke, and even on the floor at the open mic, and even, you know, when we were doing voting to discussion, never did I feel bad for how I felt, even if I was the minority voice. And so we're sitting in that finance committee, and what I shared was my experience is that I have women in Alcoholics Anonymous that I sponsor that sometimes can't give a dollar. They can't give $2. And so what I read is, what is your sobriety worth? So I'm sitting next to you. I put in five. They did put in 50 cents, and I don't want them to feel bad. Like my sobriety is worth more than them. You know, and I shared that, and you know what? We had some great discussion in that committee, great discussion. And there were people that thought it should stay, and some of us who thought it should go, and we had some great discussion. We didn't all agree, but we worked together as a committee. And that was what I was, you know, again, was taught. And I'm able to take that today into my work and other places and work together because we have a primary purpose. We just want to, you know, we want what's best for AA. And I believe that when I was at the General Service Conference, that everybody just wants the best for AA and that we all have the right to believe and feel how we feel. You know, a couple things that I also saw is, again, I talked about it every time I would go, we would go to the mic, or there was issues that were controversial. I tried to remain to keep an open mind and listen to the minority voice, listen to the opposite side of what I believe. You know what I mean? And sometimes it changed. It changed how I felt and changed how I thought. You know what I mean? I can't, I mean, I could, it'd be ideal, but then it'd be kind of boring, I guess. If we all went to the General Service Conference and everybody just agreed. Oh, I think this is great. We all agree. You know what I mean? We get through really quick. You know what I mean? But it's like, thank God it's not that way. Thank God we have different people that think different ways, which then gives me the experience to look at things sometimes differently, because I think already you should all think the way I think. That's the, you know, alcoholic mind that I have, that you should all agree with what I think you agree with. And that's not been my experience at the conference. You know, I was also part of the first year of inventory. So we all got together and we took an inventory, and that was our first year. And there was a delegate in here, Kim, that served with me, and we were in that committee together. And I felt the first year, you know, again, my experience was I don't know how to take the General Services Conference's inventory in a way, because I've never really been here. It's my first year. I can take your inventory, but I don't know about taking the General Service Conference inventory. And so I remember sitting there, and we were in these sessions, and it almost felt like everybody's like, you know, the question, Clayton would read the question, and we would go, yeah, we think that works well. Yeah, we think that works well. You know, and I'm kind of quiet because I really don't have an opinion yet. And so we did bring up a couple things that I believe, again, but just my belief, on trustees and how they're elected. But I remember the second year that we did inventory. Again, it was some new delegates that had just come in, and panel 64s. And we started to see the same thing happen again. And one of my friends politely just said, you know, when I have to take my inventory, sometimes it's pretty painstaking. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. And sometimes I have to see the truth and speak the truth when I don't want to. And when she said that, it immediately opened up the whole group to, okay, let's start talking about some things that we really see that we'd really want to talk about. And it opened the discussion, and it became more real and more honest. And we started to work together. Because it was really easy to say, well, I think everything is fine. it can't be, not when I, you know what I mean? There's too much. So it was, again, that was a great experience. The second year as my, as delegate, my area wanted to bring, we submitted an agenda item that we're very, very passionate about. We're still very, very passionate about. And another area had submitted the same agenda item. And I was going to go there and we're going to get this. And, you know, it got up and, came up, to the floor and it was, voted, it came out of the committee that they were going to vote on it. And so I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm trying, how is that vote going? You know what I mean? And what happened was it then it came up as a floor action. And I got to see, again, the fellowship, and how we talked that through, and we had some great discussion on that. And even though I still believe, how I feel about that issue, I still again got to listen to the minority voice. I got to hear, you know, what others thought or what their perception was, because I do suffer from a disease of perception. You know, I'm glad there's 40,000 people in this room this morning. You know what I mean? 40,000. And so, you know, again, I got to see that, and it still failed. But I didn't walk away with no resentment, no, you know what I mean? I knew that, again, every single person in that room has the best interest of Alcoholics Anonymous, that nobody's out to get me, and that's what I think sometimes. They're all out to get me, or, you know, and it's funny because when you read the service manual, it used to say that the delegate should have thick skin, is how it stated. Now it says must be able to accept criticism, and I thought, do they know that my sponsor had me write about how sensitive I am? I mean, I had to write about that years ago, how sensitive I am. You know, and through being the delegate and serving with my area, I've learned that not to take things personally. That again, my sponsor keeps reminding everybody just wants the best, Cheryl. Everybody just wants the best. It's not you against them. It's not us against them. We all want what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, our concept 4 talks about that we all have the right to participate. And when we're at that conference, we all have that right to participate. We all have an equal vote. The staff, the trustees, nobody's, like I talked about the trustee being here when I thought new, or the delegate being, you know, Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? It's like we're all equal at that conference. And so, you know, it's been a great experience for me at that conference. I grew from that conference, and I hope that I can take that in today, and I've been able to take that back to my area and not, you know, again, remembering that we all want what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous. We're all here because we love Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and that when things don't go my way, that's okay. That just forces us to start to work together, starting to talk. And, you know, my sponsor talks a lot about, at least you're talking about it. You know what I mean? So again, that has been my experience with the General Service Conference. It was an honor and a privilege to serve as Panel 63 delegate. I hope that I can continue to repay that back by my actions and my love for Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think I'm going to keep it like that. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. And now we have Sharon, who is a panel 57.
Hi, I'm Sharon, and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is November 17th, 1986. And my home group is the Hand in Hand group, which meets in Barlow, Ohio, out in the country, and I love that group. It's my one of the first meetings I ever went to, and I made it my home group. They said, when are you going to sign up to be on the home group list? And I'm like, so I thought I had to. So I put my name on there, and it's never left. I think my first experience with Alcoholics Anonymous was when I was a child. I was 13 years old, and I watched men from AA come and 12-step my dad. And he never got sober, But those guys never gave up either. When he was in jail, they'd come and they'd get him out of jail and talk to my mother. And what I remembered about that when I got here was that our lives were better when people in Alcoholics Anonymous were involved. Sometimes my dad would, they would take him to the hospital and he'd beat him home. But anyway, he was very clever. Like we all are in Alcoholics Anonymous. I served on panel 57 in 2008, and I served with some people, with Jeff here and Bob. Bob was a trustee at the time, and if it hadn't been for Bob, I probably would have left New York because I was scared, and I looked like a deer in the headlight, you know, looking at headlights. I was petrified, and Jeff was a wonderful support. And one of the people that I loved and helped me in service so much was my friend Andy T. And he died doing what he loved, serving Alcoholics Anonymous. And if I keep talking about this, I'll start crying. So I'm going to quit that. I never, when I walked into that group in Ohio, and I never thought I would ever do any of this stuff, because first of all, sometimes this stuff makes me crazy, and I wanted to really have a lot of serenity. You know, I wanted to be calm and serene, and that is not my nature, because I'm an Irish woman, and I get all hyped up about this stuff, and think when things don't go my way, I have to do a lot of praying. And accept the process. That's what we were told the whole time we were at the conference. Accept, you know, trust the process. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not my nature. I like to jump past the process. And I thought everyone did a good job explaining this. And I have my service manual, and I read it when necessary. But I read it before the conference because I was told to, and that's one of the things I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. To, if you want to be informed, do what you're told. You know, put your opinions aside and do what you're told. And I learned that there at the conference. I learned that in Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned about working together and getting along in my home group. I watch people argue about where the money's gone, how much coffee, what kind of coffee, and I always told them I wanted tea, and they always looked at me very strangely because very few people in AA drink tea. Maybe in other countries they drink tea, but not in the U.S. When I went to Ireland, they had tea. I was always able to see that the group, what I learned is I could see that the group would come to a consensus and decisions got made, sometimes minor ones and sometimes major ones. All the while we persevered, fought, and still remained friends. You know, I have this funny story. I do a jail meeting, and there's a woman and I do it together, and I think she's much better at it than I am, but we were talking one night, and the women said, they said, did you two drink together? And we said, no. And she said, look, I have cowboy boots on and she has flowered shoes on. We did not drink together. And I love that comment. I've been sharing that with people because we are normally people that would not mix. And I think at my first assembly, I learned how people work together. I was a GSR. After about 3 years of sobriety, I was a GSR, and I didn't know anything about being a GSR. Nothing. And I would ask people, and they would tell me, but I still didn't understand it until I did it. I did not understand the position until I did it. People in my district would have let me be a GSR or in my home group, I could have done that for about 10 years because nobody else wanted to do it. But I did a little longer than I should have, and I got bossy. So I got out of that. I don't always agree with decisions that are made, but I do believe in the group conscience, and that's what I saw at the conference. The group conscience made decisions, and it was an informed, most important word, informed group conscience, and we made decisions based on the information we had at the time. And of course, we know that the service structure is, you know, the inverted triangle is so important. And at one time, they had taken this out of the manual for a short period of time. What I understood is one person wrote a letter and said, why don't we put this back in? It became an agenda item, and it got put back into the service manual. One person. I mean, I'm sure there were other people that agreed with it, but I only saw one letter, so. And then people couldn't believe it wasn't in here. But it wasn't for a while. The first General Service Conference, I love the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love Bill's writings. The first General Service Conference was held in 1951. It was an experiment. The delegates arriving in New York, this came from Bill, delegates arrived in New York questioning office staff, reviewing finances, and making decisions about AA as a whole. The experiment worked, Bill states, and he felt confident that AA was safe from any storm the future might bring. He further states that the first experiment, when it ended, he knew that AA was safe even from him. I think Bill had become a bleeding deacon for a while. In 1955, AA came of age. The experiment worked. Bill assures the skeptics that the history of AA shows that whenever a great need arises, it is always met. I'm quite sure that our history will go on repeating itself and is in no danger of falling apart. I hear doomsday things all the time. You know, I have people I've talked to that say, we've got a book, we can do it ourselves. And I believe we need the service structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't think I can do it myself. Anyway, I served as delegate at the conference, and we had many contentious issues. We did a lot of arguing and talking. And we've received information. I was served on the literature committee, and we didn't argue about this one. But one of the things that I had the privilege of doing, where they were updating the pamphlet for the Native American, and I had the privilege of reading those stories that people sent in for the pamphlet. And I was just so moved by that. Some of them made me cry. And I thought, it was kind of a spiritual thing to read those stories. For me, it was a spiritual experience because it was, I can't believe I'm doing this. You know, I can't believe that I don't, you know, that I was there at the conference. I couldn't even believe that. And we would have these hours and hours of discussions about things, and I would think, oh, let's move on. And like I said, we were told to we were reminded always to trust the process. It was like a mantra. People kept telling me that. I'm like, okay, but can I move a little faster? You know, the concepts have principles that tell us to work together. They have we have the right of decision, the right of participation, the right of appeal, and the right of petition, all of which remind us in subtle ways that we are work together for the good of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember hearing this so often. I was also, you know, told that decisions in Alcoholics Anonymous are slow and deliberate. Nothing works quickly. And that's not always my nature. I don't think it's any of our natures, you know. And so I was told to trust the process and to just wait. One of the things that happened at our conference is we were there like till 1 a.m. sometimes. And the thing that I remembered is the participants, the delegates especially,
would get up and we'd walk around, but we never left the room. And so there would be all these delegates lined up around the room because they didn't want to leave. They were going to vote for whatever was on the agenda. They were going to stay there and vote and represent their group and their area and their, you know, region. And that was amazing to me because that's, you know, I felt like there that Alcoholics Anonymous was in good hands. I didn't feel like we were going to go down the tubes or we're going to run out of money or anything like that. I felt that Alcoholics Anonymous was in good hands. And I didn't get my way all the time either, so that was amazing. Bill writes about this, that when... excuse me, I always get these... I write everything and then I get it all confused. If I believe specifically tradition one, that our common welfare comes first, and tradition two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, then AA is in good hands. And I do not have to have it my way all the time. One of our past trustees, I was arguing with him about something that I thought was important, and he said, why are we arguing about this? Because if I believe in God, and if I believe in that group conscience and a loving authority, then things will work out. I'm an arguer. That's what I do. And sometimes I do that because I want to understand it better. Our East Central region, when I went to the conference, East Central region and Ohio, we prepare our delegates well. We have four mini conferences all in March, every weekend. We talk about agenda items and we make decisions. It's a mock conference is what it is, each weekend. And I felt like by the time I got to the conference, I had that information in hand and I understood it. It was wonderful. And then the East Central region, you know, any question I had, the trustee was there to answer those questions. And if I didn't agree with him, I could tell him I didn't agree with him. But we make decisions based on the information we have at the time and based on what's good for Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it was one of the first places I'd been in Alcoholics Anonymous where I really understood about the informed group conscience, because all the information was sitting there right in front of me. I was a little afraid. I didn't go to the mic a whole lot. But I listened and I voted for my conscience, and now I have that right of decision. And then, you know, if you don't agree with your group or your area, you have to come back and tell them and listen to them talk and mention that about the right of decision. I think that when Bill W. designed this conference, it was designed, you know, to keep Alcoholics Anonymous going for the rest, forever. And I think it will, unless we... you know, we will destroy ourselves from within, I believe, if that happens. But I don't have that fear today. You know, I used to think AA was going down the tubes every time they didn't agree with me. And I don't think that today. I was sitting there and I saw these people that walk in the room that have influenced my sobriety and through service. And I remember one of our past delegates is sitting there. I remember him talking about he and another Glenn talking about having thick skin and short memory. And I used that a lot when I was chairperson of the area and when I became delegate. All those things helped me to... the people that came before me taught me. I learned. I had a sponsor that was involved and was a delegate. She was this beautiful. I watched her
when I was a GSR and a DCM, and I watched her get up and give these wonderful reports, and she was extremely articulate, and I thought, I want to be that way. I want to be like that. She's very ill right now, and I watched her, and I listened, because our area hadn't had a whole lot of women delegates, and very few women chairpersons, and I would be, when I was chairperson, I'd want to cry after every assembly. I didn't, but so I watched her, and I wanted to be like her. I wanted to be involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. Part of that's ego, because I wanted to say, this is how I think, and we should think this way. But part of it was, I think we have to, you know, I hear this phrase now from young people, all in. And that's, I have to be all in. I have to do all these things to stay interested and active in Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't not do it. I can't sit there and just be a home group member and think everything's going to get done, you know, because that doesn't happen. It was always, before I got to New York, I'd think them and us. And when I got there, I saw that everybody works together for the good of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I come here, I see that. I see people working for the good of Alcoholics Anonymous. We may not always agree, but we do work together, and that's the most important thing. You know, I don't think we can have factions in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't believe in that. I think that scares me. So, this convention, I come here and it's 80 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think about, it's amazing, and we're all getting along. I don't think the police have arrested too many people here. We carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, when I got to be a past delegate, I thought, now what? And I knew that people wanted me to move on because I was becoming a bleeding deacon. And so I tried to back away, although Phil can tell you that's a little hard, but because he sees me in assemblies. I thought, now what do I do? And there's always something to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's the jail meeting. I go to this county jail meeting, and I walked in that room, and I thought, I have nothing in common with these women. And I love it. I love carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they kind of like me. I think they think I'm their grandmother. But they're very kind and tolerant, and I don't lecture. I don't lecture. I learned that early on. I brought the history book, AA Comes of Age. I love reading that. I didn't like it the first time I read it, but I love it because I can identify with what Bill's talking about. And I never thought when I walked into that group that I would be a delegate to the General Service Conference. And even when I got elected, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe. You know, what I love about AA is when you're elected delegate, it's a big rush. It's a big ego thing. And then 2 days later, the work starts. And then it's like, oh, I've got work to do here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've got to do this stuff. The East Central region we had a delegates, past delegates conference in February, and it was 14 below. So when you go to the, when she talks about these beautiful islands, I'm thinking 14 below. The region has been extremely helpful. I love, and our next convention will be in the East Central region. It'll be in Detroit. I have to push that. And I think it will be a wonderful convention. I'm having a great time here. I finally figured out the layout. It's easier when nobody's around. But, and I, you know, if you have an opportunity, if some of you have not been involved in service, if you have an opportunity, stick your toe in the water and try, because it's a great, It's a great opportunity, and I've learned more about the structure and of Alcoholics Anonymous than I ever thought I would from that time when I was 13 years old and from the time I walked into my home group. And the people have always been kind. I have friends that say, why do you do that? Why do you do that? It's politics. And first of all, I love politics. And I have to tell you that I love mixing it up with people sometimes. I love talking and arguing sometimes about those things. It doesn't scare me because that's what we do in AA. We talk and we discuss and cuss and discuss, as some people would say. Herbie used to say that. We cuss and we discuss, and that's what we do. And we learn from that, and Alcoholics Anonymous is better for that. And I thank the people that came from area and region to hear me, because Christy even got here on time. Christy's been a wonderful, she's gone with me to lots of things, and now I get to go with her to different things, and she's our delegate for Area 53, which is Central and Southeastern Ohio. I don't think I mentioned that. I'm just grateful to be here, and I don't want to read the service manual. The inverted triangle's in there, and that explains our structure, and I thought you explained it very well, and I remember Conley from his first conference. He explained things at the mic for a while, and sometimes he would cry, if I remember correctly. And I felt like crying. I thought, here I am at this conference, and it was just a wonderful experience. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.